Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search and discovery and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, why it may be hard to trust the government during the pandemic. They say that the United States of America is one of the best places on earth to live. Some say it's like living with an uncle who rapes you and buys you candy and toys. Is good old Uncle Sam guilty of experimenting on and abusing his own people? What about abusing other people? As if the constant flip-flopping, changing of the goalposts, changing of the rules, denial, lying, inconsistency, lack of transparency, conflict of science information, ignoring of science, lack of alternative intervention, censorship, violation of human and constitutional rights, and apparent incompetence isn't enough to require an emergency overhaul of government. Let's take a look at our history of scientific and medical abuse and atrocities. The hell with the previous 20-year history of the vaccine clinical trials that produce ADE, antibody deficiency enhancement, or VED, vaccine-enhanced disease from the trials, when the antibodies generated during the an immune response recognize and bind to a pathogen, but they are unable to prevent infection. Instead, these antibodies act as a Trojan horse, allowing the pathogen to get into cells and exacerbate, make worse, make the immune response worse, right? So, the immune system produced a cytokine storm, overwhelmingly attacking the body. And the in these trials, the children and animals died, right? Forget about that. A lot of people don't know about that. I don't think anyway. I don't know that many people when it comes to knowing about this. But I don't hear people generally talking about that. I'm going to assume that most people don't know about ADE or VED, and therefore it may not be a factor in why they don't trust the government's vaccine rollout agenda. Not having boots on the ground, as usual, I have to rely on my resources. If there's any truth to half of these historical allegations, we're in deep you-know-what. More recently, from Euro Weekly News, I saw this article. It said the FDA says it needs 75 years to release Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine data to the public, 20 years more than it originally agreed on November 15th. Initially, they asked for a 55-year delay. 55 years, y'all. So Fox News, somebody from Fox News quoted it saying, how does a vaccine that received approval in 108 days now require 55 years just to release information? Now, that sounds very suspicious. How does a vaccine that receives approval in 108 days require 55 years just to release information? I have to quote someone else. Said anyone initially responsible at Pfizer or the FDA will be dead and gone by the time they release any damaging information and thus avoid being held accountable for the irreversible damage they cause. That's another quote. Unquote. That's playing with your life and emotion. The FDA wants 55 to 75 years to release all data about a vaccine they authorized the use of in, 108 days that people are being mandated or forced to inject into their body yesterday and till this day. Everything we needed and could know about the vaccine should have been known before it was made available to consumers, and definitely before being mandated. When I say we, I mean the consumer, the poor saps that blindly trusted Pfizer and the government, once again, and those who are forced to take the vaccine. Maybe I'm just being skeptical, and it's not a snowball's chance in hell that the government, scientists, and medical professionals would actually experiment on unsuspecting people or on the very people that have come to them for help. You know, snowball's chance in hell. Snowball's ice. Hell is hot. Snowball's not going to last longer in hell, just in case that was all not received right. Anyway, after all of this, after all, this is the greatest country on earth. I don't really know, but that's what it says, right? That's what I hear people say. Anyway, I haven't been around like that, so I wouldn't know if this is or is it. But it must be pretty good because a lot of people come here. From BuzzFeed News, cruel medical experiments on slaves were widespread in the American South. Electrical shocks, brain surgery, amputation, just some of the medical experiments widely performed on American slaves in the mid-1800s, according to a new survey of medical journals published before the Civil War. Previous work by historians had uncovered a handful of rogue physicians conducting medical experiments on slaves, but the new report, there's just a whole lot of it going on, okay? So a new report published in the latest issue of the journal Endeavor suggests that a widespread network of medical colleges and doctors across the American South carried out and published slave experiments for decades. They carried it out and published. So they didn't just do it. They left a record of that what they were doing. So to some extent, in their mind, they were doing something right, I guess. Something they felt needed to happen. Just didn't need to happen to white folks, right? So anyway, the study details four surgical experiments in particular, dated from 1833 to 1858, that doctors performed on slaves. The physician and slave owner William Aiken of Winsboro, North Carolina, reported in 1852 experiment on a slave named Lucinda, who suffered from a bony growth around her right eye. He and other doctors disfigured her by boring holes in her head without chloroform. That was what they used for anesthesia. So you feel pain and stuff like that, put you to sleep. Medicine is an integral part of the story of slavery. Todd Sabat, a medical historian at the Brody School of Medicine at East Carolina University, said. In the summer of 1989, construction workers unearthed 10,000 bones from a basement belonging to the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta. So basically, I guess they're saying these guys are robbing graves, and they alluded to that they might even be causing the death of people, might have caused the deaths of people to use their bodies in experiments. The Medical College and others like it grew in the shadow of slavery, Kenny said. And the professionalism in medicine in the decades before the Civil War. Physicians needed to learn anatomy, and the slaves provided a supply of bodies. That's before the war. I guess after the war, they had plenty of bodies. The price of slaves increased in 1807 after the halt of the British slave trade. That made medical treatment to help injured or disease slaves, right? So they were good. They were glad to have them, right? As an industry. So they was, your slave was sick, bring them here, we take care of them. It helped create a demand for the experiment. So I guess it's more of that story. Don't get sick if you're a slave. I don't know how you can go get around it. Slave hospitals sprang up around the trading centers. Augusta, New Orleans, Charleston, South Carolina, doctor six slaves intended for sale and to heal valuable workers. South Carolina physician J. Marion Sims, often referred to as the father of gynecology, developed a surgery for complications of childbirth on slave women in the 1840s. He said he was long seen as a villain. More recent historical research has suggested that some women willingly participated in Sims' surgeries, making him a more ambiguous figure. Wait a minute. Some slaves willingly participated in his experiment. That sounds like a bunch of, that sounds crazy right there. Many surgical techniques, including amputation, experiments using either as anesthesia, were tested on slaves before they made their way into the standard medicine. So basically, they conduct some very unethical experimentations on people. It doesn't matter if they volunteered or not. They don't, nobody's volunteered to be destroyed. So that sounds like some mad scientist bullshit. I'm trying not to use the bad language here. So the old studies did not mention whether the slaves consented to the experiment. Don't matter if they did or not. They slaves. They ain't consenting to the situation, period. I don't even know why this is even a you know, that's not this show is not about that, though, so I'm going to keep going. The physical restraints were common. Some reports describe slaves bolting from the room when subjected to electrical shock or scalpels without pain relief. Can you imagine that? A woman named Harriet was suffering from seizures, was electrically shocked in an 1848 experiment for 53 minutes. Under the skin, they knew on some level that people were the same. So they used slaves in medicine, Savage said. They knew that, but still saw slaves as different from other people. So they knew they were abusing these people. Doesn't matter if they're volunteered or not. Doesn't matter if somebody volunteers for you to torture them or not. And that makes you, that's supposed to make this guy, if somebody was foolish enough to do something like that, that you cut on them with a scalpel and electrocute them. They volunteered for that. Do you think they knew what they was volunteering for? Nobody's going to volunteer for this garbage anyway. So I don't know where that even is coming from. Anyway, I guess you can expect anything being done to a slave who lived a life of having anything being done to them. If they could own, sell, rape, dismember, lynch, and mate them like dogs, experimentation on the totally vulnerable slave population is not far-fetched. So that's no surprise. What about the U.S. citizens? Because they've worked on these slaves back in the day, and they didn't want to do that to white folks, right? So what about U.S. citizens? That would include a lot of white people because the country is mostly Caucasian. From this verse, top 10 U.S. government experiments done on its own citizens. And if you think this don't have anything to do with today, you need to go do your own research. Because we are all the summation of our life experiences, and so is this nation. So is medical society, government, and they are the summation of everything they've done to get to this point. Throughout history, U.S. government has managed to keep secrets hidden from the public. When they release these secrets, many are quite surprised and astonished at everything they've managed to get away with. Despite the current rise in conspiracy theories involving government testing, many verified instances of such cases have remained hidden from the public for decades, they said. Here are 10 of them. And this is famous right here because I know, I think anybody and their mother know about this one. The Tuskegee Syphilis Study. The U.S. Public Health Service conducted this Tuskegee study beginning in 1932, a total of 600 African-American men chosen in the study. 399 with syphilis and 201 without it. Those with syphilis were denied proper treatment for the disease. The government wanted to ensure that they were able to track its progress, the disease progress, without interruption by medicine. The men were never given the option to participate in the study because they were never told it was an experiment. The experiment was only supposed to last 6 months, lasted up to 40 years. When penicillin became the main drug to treat syphilis, the patients were denied access, weren't given the option to opt out of the study. In exchange, they were given free medical exams and burial services. A lawsuit was later filed, and the government granted free burial service to all surviving patients. Well, you're going to put that body in the ground anyway. If y'all ever smelt a dead body, you know that's not going to stay above ground long anyway. Number nine, the Statesville Penitentiary Malaria Study. U.S. government conducted Statesville Penitentiary Malaria Study in the 1940s at Statesville Penitentiary located in Illinois. It involved over 400 prisoners who were illegally infected with malaria and subjected to studies. The goal was to test experimental drugs to find a cure for the disease. The tests were administered and documented solely by the prisoners themselves. Not only were they the patients, but they were also the proctors. Does that make sense? The prisoners also decided which of them would take part in the experiment. The testing process counted toward their sentence and allowed some to serve much less time. The experimental drugs often had irreversible side effects, right? The prisoners would also choose who was eligible to receive a reduced sentence. However, intriguingly, this may have been for the prospective patients. Anyway, one of the most famous prisoners involved in the experiment was Nathan Leopold, who may have recognized from Leopold and Loeb murder case in 1924. He stated that the prisoners would often deal with the horrifying side effects without complaint. I guess they wasn't getting nothing. Despite the immorality of the experiment, it was praised by many for the benefits it would create for society. This is that benefit outweigh the risk mentality. This is because y'all don't think that's what we're talking about right now. Citizens saw it as a sacrifice to find the cure for malaria at the prisoner's expense. Navy-sponsored beef blood transfusion. It's something I never heard of before. Edward Kahn, C-O-H-N, a biochemist working at Harvard University. His work involved injecting prisoners with cow blood to detect a protein that could be used in the event of an upcoming war. The 64 subjects who were injected with the cow blood all suffered catastrophic events, ending in death. Although this government experiment failed, it was soon learned that Combs' method, that the true way to identify the protein was not in cow blood, but human blood. The methods were replicated using human blood, and the protein was not only isolated, but also pure. Instead of being used to harm others, this protein was later used to effectively treat shock patients. That's patients that you electrocuted for some kind of treatment. So, platinum testing, plutonium testing. In the mid-40s, U.S. was busy with the Manhattan Project to create the atomic bomb because the effects of radiation from the bomb were largely unknown. The government spent years studying them, including with experimentation on its own citizens. Plutonium is one of many radioactive materials. Patients will receive a dose of radioactive plutonium in the form of injections A majority of these patients were terminally ill, which made the results of the experiment difficult to understand fully. And they were never told what was being done to them, because the word plutonium remained a government secret after World War II. Although most of the patients did not die from the effects of the plutonium injections, the government's secrecy and willingness to subject its own citizens to such experiments raised suspicion from many. If you start to hear a familiar tune here, maybe because you are hearing a familiar tune. World War II mustard gas experiments. I heard about this. So in World War II, the U.S. government conducted many experiments on its own soldiers. Nearly 60,000 human subjects were used during the studies, mostly Caucasian men. However, many Japanese and African Americans were also used to identify any possible skin differences within the experiment. There were several different tests used to determine the strength of such protective clothing in both gas chambers and the field. So there's also evidence that some of the soldiers were not offered any protective gear or clothing. In the chambers test, troops wore the mask and clothing and stood in the deadly gases from 1 to 4 hours. The tests were repeated daily using the same people as subjects until they exhibited dangerous reactions. Y'all heard that, right? I heard about people going in the gas chamber. I heard something like that before. Long, long time ago. Operation Midnight Climax. Now, here's the interesting test. Experiment they did. Remember, these things being done, without these people knowing, and without their best interest being looked after. This is a violation of the Nuremberg Act Code. Nuremberg Code. We're not supposed to experiment on people like that without informed consent. Right? The CIA began to experiment with LSD, lysergic acid, diethylamide, under agency chemist and poison expert Sidney Gottlieb. He believed the agency could harness the drug's mind-altering properties for brainwashing or psychological torture. So they want to use this LSD as a weapon. I don't know if you're familiar with LSD, but it was a LSD up in the communities in the United States. People were just getting high off that. I wonder how it got there. If it just came from the CIA had control over it. Anyway. So Operation Midnight Climax was a MK Ultra project in which government-employed prostitutes lured unsuspecting men to CIA safe houses where drug experiments took place. The CIA dosed the men with LSD and then, while at times drinking cocktails behind a two-way mirror, watched the drugs' effects on the men's behavior. So that's like roofing somebody and just watching them trip. Except these guys are taking notes because they want to use it to control people or harm people. Operation Sea Spray. This is 1950. We got again experiment to test the possibility of biological warfare near the West Coast. They did so by releasing biological weapons into the streets of San Francisco to test their effects. All right, so they just released that. Do you think they asked the people? Do you think anybody would agree to that? To gain information on how it affected the population, this was done without the citizens' consent, of course. By the end of the operation, 6 different biological warfare tests have been performed on residents of San Francisco. 6 different tests, unbeknown to them, performed on these guys. This is the stuff that they know about. These releases killed many people and hurt several more. The government then concluded that it is very likely for a coastal city to be affected by such warfare. Oh, they are geniuses, evil geniuses. They knew it would hurt you. That's why they were trying it on it anyway. That's what the whole experiment was about. But you don't—they don't care that much about people. That they just, you know, kill them in an experiment. Okay, this is that. And I'm not talking about the benefit to the subjects. The benefit is to the beneficiary, the people who are in charge of these programs. The benefits outweigh the risk. See, the risk is they risk somebody blowing their heads off for poisoning their community. You understand? Blowing up some government agency places for attacking the American people. That's the risk they're taking. But American people are, I don't see anything historically about that that mentions anything like that going on. I wouldn't know. And I haven't researched it. But this is the benefits outweigh the risk attitude and mentality that we also see today. You got to understand what you're looking at. One of the many deaths caused by the experiment was Edward Niven. He died after bacteria from the government testing spread from his urinary tract to his heart. Wow. Other cases soon followed him, but many were cured after long. Tom stays in the hospital, right? Torturous stays in the hospital. They suffered, but they were cured. Operation Big Buzz, the catastrophic experiment conducted by the U.S. government in 1955, may not seem as harmful as it was. The government released millions of mosquitoes known to carry yellow fever in the Georgia Park. The buzz quickly dispersed to the suburbs. The goal was to determine how effective insects could be in biological warfare by tracking biting habits on citizens. Although these mosquitoes were not infected with yellow fever, the government still tested the potential for biological warfare by experimenting on its own citizens. Yeah, because they sucked the mosquitoes on people. Operation Big Itch was involved the government releasing of fleas into the public to study their biting and travel habits. Their goal in this operation was meant to determine how effective fleas would be in spreading disease in biological warfare. Okay? All of these studies show the government's determination to develop advanced biological warfare methods. Seems like the government has been looking for a vehicle, a method to deliver a biological weapon to impact on a mass population. And as you can see, they even went as far as to experiment and expose their own people to experiments that relate to these development of these biological warfare weapons. I heard somebody say something about vaccine. They might call the vaccine and the virus biological warfare. I can't remember that, but I know they related to today's pandemic as biological warfare. I don't know if it's the vaccine or what they're referring to the so-called virus. COVID-19 virus, because they say that virus was gainfully functioned. That means they took it in the lab and made it worse, more deadly. They took the coronavirus and made it more deadly, and here we got this thing running around mutating and just running havoc over the economies and the lives of people all over the planet. I don't know. It just sounds like a repeat of what's been going on. But they got it. This time it's working a little better. The next one, I keep hearing somebody saying the next one's going to be worse. I guess it would be worse just listening to this and how these weren't as successful at killing a whole lot of people, the mass occurring, mass murdering a lot of people. But you're going to get a little better if that something comes along. So anybody that says, oh, the next one is going to be worse, I would be very suspicious of that person. Anybody. That would be your president, Fauci, Bill Gates, any government agency that's saying, well, the next plague that comes is going to be worse. How the hell you know that? Anyway, that's probably one of the reasons why some people don't trust the government, because the government has not been trustworthy. And I'm sure there are some people in government who are not on the same page, but if you work in government and you haven't done anything about these atrocities, you are part of the problem. That's a fact. Anyway, the Willowbrook experiments, extremely shocking. Willowbrook experiments were aimed at discovering a cure for hepatitis. The continuous study lasted from 1956 to 1970. Woo! The subjects were taken from Willowbrook State School, which is in Staten Island. They were mentally handicapped children. The most vulnerable population, as I say, you can tell a lot about a society by how they treat their most vulnerable population. Here's a series of tests involved injected the children with experimental drugs that were meant to cure hepatitis. The children, unable to provide consent, but they would often die from the treatment. Think that's something? The children who did not contract the disease naturally were infected by the administrators to carry on the experiment. This is mad scientist stuff. If this actually happened, and this author is saying these things actually took place, who was made accountable for this? They don't tell me that it took 25, 30, 55, 75 years. I mean, it's not that long ago, but don't tell me it takes over 20 years for you to reveal what these folks are doing to people. That's ridiculous. That says you need a overhaul of government. That is cruel and unusual, but we must pay close attention to the train of thought when it comes to these mad scientists. As I said, you hear certain things like the benefits outweigh the risks. A lot of people might think that means you, but it might be applicable to you and applicable to something else, meaning the benefits of this process. Someone is going to benefit from this process, and whatever risk they're taking at doing whatever thing that they're doing to the population is less than the benefit that they're going to get. You can look at it like that also, all right? And it gets you to subject to some things that the benefits outweigh the risks. I can say that to you. And it might be some benefit that they might pinpoint, you know, or focus on, you know. But I'm not going to get into this whole thing about whether the vaccine is safe or not, because like I said in previous shows, we'll find out. We're finding out already. But we're definitely going to find out if some of the things that some of these guys have cautioned us about is going to happen in the next 2 to 3 years with these large populations of people being vaccinated. So, and here we have our government, right, doing all kinds of stuff. We have the measles vaccine experiment, okay? This is close. Experiments involving the measles vaccines were conducted from 1990 to 1991 by the Center for Disease Control. That's what we call the CDC. The doctors wanted to know if they could use it to replace natural antibodies in babies. Okay? To test this, doctors injected thousands of babies in the third world with the drug. The vaccine eventually led to several immune problems in the babies, caused many deaths, although the exact number is unknown. That's ADE and A. as ADE and what's the other one called? I don't know why I can't remember it. As ADE and the what's the other thing called? And the VAD, the vaccine enhanced disease. So that's very similar to what they say, what they're cautioning us about the current vaccines. That's why I think that's very important, this whole thing about the so we got all of this government carrying on out these experiments on folks unbeknown to them. For the I guess this is supposed to be for the interest of science, I don't know. And maybe this is how science has got to be where it is. And I'm wondering if science is what they say it is now, because is it something that's enough for somebody to create something, to create economic prosperity through illness and death? Because that's what this history sounds like. They're creating economic prosperity through suffering, illness, disease, and death. See, but it's confusing because, you know, they can use some of these things eventually to help people. But they have caused many to suffer. And they discriminated even on who they choose to do that to some extent. As you see, some white people were subjected to this. So this ain't a black thing. It's not a Latin, not just a black thing. We, of course, as we know, a lot of things were specific to black people in this country because, as you know, black people were slaves in this country for the most part in the beginning. That were made slaves, captives, and they did what they wanted to do with them. So when you have a population that you can do whatever you want to do, you tend to do whatever you want to do to them. Okay? So when you look at a population that has no power in the country, you could be subject to the same type of thinking. Because it's a reason why you live on the same level as those slaves or the descendants of those slaves. The reason for that. So one thing about that is it's because you have no power. That's why you're there, because you don't see no powerful ones living right next door to somebody. I'm talking next door. You can hear them getting up in the morning, crying, baby crying. You can smell what they're cooking to eat and stuff like that. No, none of the powerful ones live like that. Only the people who don't have power live that way, the ghettos and things like that. So if your ghetto's white, you are powerless against this. San Francisco, now, I'm surprised they sprayed that over San Francisco. Oakland, I could see them doing it, but San Francisco, because that's supposed to be the good side. But San Francisco is also known for having a large homosexual population. So back in those days, they were very, they were not very accepting of homosexual lifestyle. Anyway, replacing natural antibodies sounds like ADE, right? Knowing the drug had this effect, the government still tested on African-American and Hispanic babies in Los Angeles. Of course they did. They injected more than 1,500 babies in the United States with this similar drug. However, the study came to an end when it was discovered that African-American children were dying at an alarming rate up to 3 years after receiving the vaccinations. Reason why I'm saying that, This is exactly how they describe, they warned about the ADE. They said, wait 2 or 3 years, and you're going to see these people that receive this vaccine are going to have, the vaccine's going to have the same effect on them. Now, personally, for my own personal reasons, I hope that that's not true. And if it is true, I hope that it's not exactly true. You know how things are sometimes. It's true, but it's not as devastating as they say it is. I just hope that just, that, you know, everybody, you know, that gets this thing, that has been vaccinated, do not experience this in 3 years, because they've already seen, right, what happened. And this is a vaccine, the CDC, right, was put their stamp on it, right? They want to replace the natural antibodies, right? So how did they do this? This isn't explaining how it's done. But we see today, if we've been following the mRNA and spike protein vaccine, we know that they have the spike protein helps the body produce more spike proteins, right? Which develop natural antibodies. So this is very consistent with what's happened today. We being mandated to take a vaccine, and here I guess they just gave it to people because people didn't know, and the measles was a bad thing back then. That was like this is today, but I think the measles is worse than this. I don't know. I'm not a virologist, but that seems like the same scenario that we're going through today. And our government is very much a part of it. The measles vaccine experiment led to several immune problems, right? And they knew it. CDC later admitted that the parents were unaware that their children were being injected with an experimental drug. Oh, my. That had not been verified by the Food and Drug Administration, which is different. Because this drug, the vaccine for today, had been emergency authorized and had been approved by the FDA. Now, if that means something to you, because I was wondering why people were waiting for FDA approval on a drug that had already been identified as experimental, never before done before. No history on it. So I was always wondering why people felt better if the Food and Drug Administration approved it. Well, that helps move it along. And to some people, once they put things in the law, they think that it's okay because, the law says it. So let's keep it moving. The law says it. The law says this, the law says that. Anybody that's ever studied government, law, you know the first thing they tell you about laws are do not always reflect ethical and moral standards. Law has nothing to do with that. And if it, by some miracle it does, consider yourself fortunate. That's because it's written in the law. That's because a federal agency supports it. Does not mean that it's good. That's what I'm getting from all of this. Does not mean it's something that's in your best interest as a consumer. As you can see, these kids were injected with experimental drugs. That's not in their best interest. Now, that may be in the best interest of the CDC and whoever's working on this vaccine, because they're going to make a lot of money from the measles vaccine. So you want to see what happened, follow the money trail. Who made this money? Anyway. So I looked into more of that, right? That sounds crazy. So I looked to measles outbreak, New York City, right? For the CDC. They just said, measles outbreak began in New York City, December 1990. Approximately 2,000 filing cases of 8 measles-associated deaths were reported. Since January 1991, transmission has increased. Through May 7th, more than 2,000 cases and 9 deaths were reported to the New York City Department of Health. We got way more than that now. But those numbers, we don't even know what those numbers really represent for COVID deaths. Preliminary data are available for the first 2,084 cases reported in 1991. Of these patients, 1,383, 66%, were less than 5 years of age, from whom 53% were less than 12 months of age. Most cases have occurred among the Black and Hispanic children. More than 70% of cases have been reported from the Bronx and Brooklyn. You think that's a coincidence? Transmission has also occurred among prisoners in the city jail system and among both patients and medical staff in some local hospitals. Well, because they come in contact with them. That should. That's to be expected, just like with this COVID thing, right? It sounds very much like COVID. Not the disease, the scenario. To control the outbreak, New York City health officials recommended an additional dose of measles vaccines for 6 to 11-month-old children. Is this sounding familiar to anybody but me? They had made walk-in immunization services available. Are vaccinating eligible children in emergency rooms and have mounted a citywide multimedia Stop Measles Education Information Campaign. In addition, New York State health officials have implemented emergency regulations to require healthcare workers to demonstrate proof of measles immunity, have integrated immunization services with certification for the special supplemental program for women, infants, and children, are implementing requirements for hospitals and licensed healthcare facilities to offer immunization to all children served. Does that sound familiar or not? From the Washington Post, the measles experiment failed to disclose risk. A government-sponsored study of 2 measles vaccines begun in 1989 during a major U.S. epidemic and conducted on nearly 1,500 minority infants in Los Angeles failed to disclose to parents that one of the vaccines was experimental. All right, that's from the Washington Post. That's a mainstream newspaper. The city planned to contact all families involved and said they were very concerned that the events not fuel suspicion in the minority community of government medical research. And hence this topic of our show today. Why? It may be hard to trust the government during the pandemic. Every little mistake like that seeds the concerns of people. We need to move to a new level of assurance so people can really trust what we're doing. Now, I don't know, this was said by David Statcher, director of the Atlanta-based Federal Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, right? Talked about how we need to move toward gaining the trust of the public. Well, this is 1989. I don't see how anything has changed. And the evidence of that is Biden administration mandated back that you get vaccine. They try to pay people to get vaccinated. They try to scare people to get vaccinated. Then they mandated them to get vaccinated. Now we got to wait 2 to 3 years to find out if what these scientists are saying is real. But if you look backwards, you can see possibility is more than real, that this ADE, cytokine storm thing, it could happen because it already happened. It's like if there's a dog, he has teeth, he bites. You've noticed that. You've seen that in your childhood. You don't get to be 60 and say, think that that dog don't bite. He's a dog. He won't bite. It's not illogical. You've already seen it. It's already happened. So there's a great chance that we may have some severe adverse events in the coming years. I'm just hoping... it's just my personal thing here that it's not as severe as the scientists as the science has revealed in the past, and as the scientists are predicting in the future. I can say that. That's how I feel. That's not scientific. That's not nothing. That's just, wow, I just hate to see, that kind of suffering. Los Angeles Times. Again, it covers some this thing about the government-sponsored two measles vaccine studies begun in 1989 during U.S. Epidemic and conducted early on nearly 1,500 infants, right? Same thing, right? So they conducted experiments. So you got Los Angeles. If you want to call me a liar, go back to the Los Angeles Times and Washington Post. You covered our articles on that. Well, so much for gaining the trust of the people who historically have not been able to trust the government. It could explain why black people remain resistant to the current experimental FDA, EUA, and FDA-approved genetically modification procedure currently masquerading as a vaccine. Not to mention the mysterious absence of alternative treatments. Criteria for EUA issuance for FDA to issue an EUA. There must be no adequate approved and available alternative to the candidate product for diagnosing, preventing, or treating the disease or condition. So that's the criteria for emergency authorization. Emergency use authorization, right? So that might be why we don't have any, we didn't have any alternative treatment. People just died, you know. Alliance of Human Research Protection, 1990, FDA issued a waiver form consent convert CDC experiment vaccine test on black and Latino babies. Again, CDC inoculated black Latinos baby with the unlicensed measles vaccine. So I just took the opportunity just to see if there were other articles on this same subject. And I'm like, okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. Cause, I mean, a whole lot of stuff on that. The CDC harmed babies, violated federal law, and trampled on the parental rights with impunity. They said the CDC harmed babies, violated federal law, and trampled on parental rights with impunity. All right, you know, I don't know if y'all know about VAERS, the vaccine reporting system. Like if you did the vaccine and something happens to you, you think it happened as a result of that vaccine, you report it to the VAERS system. Well, that thing is jumping off the chain, right, since this vaccine. Federal law, they violated federal law. Well, Biden administration just violated federal law. Your rights as a human being, you know, I don't think, why do we need a law to protect our human rights? That something's wrong with that right there. Trampled over parental rights. They making forcing your kid to get a shot. with impunity. So if your kid gets sick, and the understanding is if you get the vaccine, you cannot sue. You sign a, you cannot sue the vaccine company. What kind of nonsense is that? And all this is for the benefit is greater than the risk. That sounds like eat dirt, MF. Do as I say, slave. We don't care about what happens. Do what we tell you to do. That's what that sounds like. That sounds like you have no choice. It sounds worse than the feudal lord system. Sounds like a complete a slave system. That's a scary, familiar scenario. Violating federal law, trampling over parental rights with impunity. We're seeing that now. So again, if you're wondering where this attitude comes from, people who don't care about your life, think that the benefits outweigh the risks. You know, just know that 9 millionaires have been created since this vaccine rolled out. Probably more now, because everybody's getting it to keep their jobs. People just getting it to keep their jobs. Some people quitting their jobs. Finding something else to do, right? So, anyway, this is a very familiar scenario today, and it's thing that seems to just keep repeating itself. And are they going to just keep repeating this until they get the result that they want? So what is the result that they want? That's the question here. They've been working on this biological warfare agency, agent, trying to get a vehicle to deliver it, right? And they say that this coronavirus, right, the cold virus, was gainfully functioned, right? Which means that they increased its lethality, right? And I'm getting to the whole science behind what they actually did. You can do your own research on that. So that makes that a vehicle. Put it out there. And then now all of a sudden you got something that has never worked that the government is condoning. It sounds so familiar. And they're ignoring the science behind the vaccine, as they do in here. So, and they're claiming that, hey, benefits outweigh the risk. We're going to save you from dying, save you from going to the hospital, save you from getting real sick. Okay, now, does that mean 2 to 3 years from now? Or what does that mean, you know? Maybe you can get real sick from a virus that has a 99% survival rate. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to put all this together. Something is going on here. That's what I'm getting from all the, from just reading about all these different experiments and these attitudes that these people have. It doesn't seem like anybody is being held accountable. I don't hear about nobody being taken out of office, put in prison, firing squad, or nothing. Nobody busts nobody in the head with a bottle that's perpetuating this type of nonsense. Just experiment on people, and you can get away with it. Do what you want to do, as long as you do it on the poor. As long as you're doing it on the blacks, minorities, the marginalized community, and the homosexual community, because they were very marginalized back and during these periods. They seem to have gotten a lot of power. I don't know how they got there, but they seem to have gotten a lot of power, political power nowadays. So I wonder what would happen if somebody decided to spray some experimental agent on the homosexual community anywhere on the planet, especially the white homosexual community. What would happen then? But that's another show. Not even suggesting they should do that, but it seems like those people will put up a serious fight. And if they're anywhere near the people that's trying to do that, they're not going to let that happen. Because whatever they've been doing, they've been fighting, and they've been fighting for a long time, and She was like, they got the gloves off, the kid gloves off, and they got their kung fu suits on, and they ready to kick some ass. So, the reason why I'm using them as an example, because you didn't use them, that's one example you can take for them. You got to get up and start fighting for yourself. And you got to be aware of what's going on. So, and here's what your government has done historically. Do your own research. Don't take my word for it. Don't ever. But listen to what I'm saying so that you can follow up. Right? But anyway, this vaccine was a high potency, EZHT, high titer measles vaccine that had been tested in third world Mexico, Gambia, Guinea, Congo, Senegal, Haiti. Very poor nations. In the 80s, prior to testing it in impoverished black and Latino babies in Los Angeles. Listen to this, y'all. Why they ain't tested on their own kid? Why not test it on your kid? Think it's so good. The benefits outweigh the risk. Test it on your kid. Test it on you. Benefits outweigh the risk. No, they're not talking about the benefit to you. They're talking about the benefit to themselves. Follow the money trail. In remote villages in Senegal, two high titer vaccines were tested. Had significantly higher mortality. The kids had they had significantly high mortality rate at 41 months than the children who received the standard low titer measles vaccine. Children who received the SWHT vaccine died at a rate of 50% higher than those who received the standard vaccine. There was a 48 excess deaths for every 1,000 babies. The EZHT vaccine, babies who received the EZHT vaccine died at a rate of 80% higher than those who received the standard vaccine. There were 75 excess deaths for every 1,000 babies. Child mortality after high titer measles vaccines, prospective study in Senegal, right? That was in The Lancet, in a scientific study magazine booklet that was covered in The Lancet in 1991, if you want to go check it out. I'm not going to just go over that. I'm going to briefly. The report by the CDC reported published in the Journal of Pediatrics in 2004 excluded statistically significant harmful findings about the vaccine. The CDC authors failed to disclose that African-American baby boys who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 months were at risk of autism. That was another big deal right there, with this whole autism thing in the vaccine. I know Robert Kennedy was going through this thing about that. For more than 10 years, CDC scientists intentionally concealed the evidence of an increased risk of autism in black babies. All right? So for you people who are waiting on FDA approval, CDC approval, and things like that, these guys, these guys seem to be a part of the problem. And to me, sounds like we needed an overhaul of this government a long time ago. What happened, this is just something that's got out of control. And that's why you see, you get this information and say, oh, don't do that. That's dangerous. And you get somebody else say, oh, no, he's crazy, he's a quack. We can go on, move forward. We are right. That's how you have these two completely opposite scenarios supposed to be in science. Are you kidding? Something's wrong with this picture. So anyway, a whole lot of stuff happened, right? I'm just going to run down a couple of, because there's so many things that did happen. And it's like, I guess if we were on top of our game, if we really had representation in government, we would know these things. These things would be historic, you know. How come this not, when you teach American history, how come they don't get none of this? Or are we just going to go with that whole thing of the America, the beautiful, that delusion about America being the beautiful? Tell the truth, because you can't build a relationship on a lie. You can't build a house on sand, because it's gonna eventually fall. It won't hold, you know. That's a weak foundation. But the truth, you can build from that. But if we're not gonna deal with the truth, you're gonna subject people to lies. Then what you're gonna do is you're gonna create rebellion, and at one point, you're gonna create a rebellion that you're not gonna be able to squash. It's just a matter of time. I don't know if the idea is to get into this whole thing with this robotics and control people and all this shit stuff. I don't know. Because you can control people by, one, killing them, making them sick, making them need you, right? Or you control them by giving them things, or you could control them by forcing them. I mean, if you have a army of robotics and things like that, that you can control the population. So, I don't know what's going on here, but it's not good. Historically, it hasn't been good, and it's way past out of control today. Because there's no way in hell anybody should be anywhere taking a common virus or anything and making it more powerful and testing it to see if it's more harmful to us or any organism on the planet. Anyway, in 1992, Congress enacts the PDUFA, Prescription Drug User Free Act. It undermined the FDA's independence and its ability to ensure public safety. Sounds like the FDA was already not ensuring public safety. To this day, you don't believe me? Just look at all the lawsuits and all these pharmaceutical products. I mean, Pfizer, Moderna, who else? J&J. J&J got some talcum powder, got some crazy cancer causing stuff in it. Just look at all that stuff. The FDA is not, either doesn't or can't ensure public safety. All right? They said, but you know what? We shouldn't even need an FDA. These people should be responsible, ethical, moral individuals, which, unfortunately, they are not. Which goes back to, again, we need an overhaul of government. We need to get some people in there who actually care about human beings, who care about the planet. Not the monsters that we're in there now. Not the scaredy cats who are afraid to go up against the monsters. If you're scared of the monsters, you shouldn't be in politics. Don't get in the ring if you're scared to fight. Stay out of the kitchen if you can't take the heat. So, 1994, Elaine Wilson reports secret plutonium experiments, right? We talked about that. Secret radiation experiments conducted in the 1940s. Indigent patients and mentally retarded children, right, were deceived, right? In 1996, Department of Defense admits Desert Storm soldiers were exposed to chemical agents. You believe that? Now, I know y'all heard about that because I heard about that. Right? In 1997, 88 members of Congress signed a letter demanding an investigation into bioweapons use and Gulf War syndrome. See, I'm saying all this to say, I went back to slavery, right? These guys are acting in their warped sense of best interest. And the benefits outweighing the risks. Here we got to continue. They just continue to experiment on their own population. They continue to experiment on people who trust them. Your own soldiers, guys just putting their life on the line for real, for real. Putting their life on the line. They in a kill or be killed situation, for real. And you're going to test some bioweapons on them? Toast-related smokescreen has been created around the safety of anthrax vaccine and its role in the Gulf War. Are you kidding? Soapboxy. Six unethical experiments were authorized by the government. Some of these are the same thing. So, mustard gas, he talked about that. Venereal disease. Guatemala and Tuskegee. Sonoma State Hospital, right? They are experiments at Sonoma State Hospital involve exposing children to radiation and observing the effects, right? Left them suffering or dead for the cause. Midnight Climax, talked about that, CIA with the LSD. Excuse me. So, why, if you, I mean, like, they keep calling these people anti-vaxxers. That's a bunch of BS. There are anti-vaxxers out there, and they're not even BS. They have reasons for why they're against the vaccine. So, you got to do your research about vaccines even getting to, before you even start calling somebody an anti-vaxxer. You're not an anti-vaxxer if you refuse to take the COVID-19 vaccine. You're a person who don't trust the government, don't trust the science behind this, and maybe you read a little bit about the 20 years of trying to make this vaccine with this mRNA process, and you've seen, you know, the results, why we never had that. And you are very skeptical about this thing popping up now as being okay. Regardless of the scientists who say it's not, it's dangerous. So there's a book, Battlefield America, by John W. Whitehead. It talks about how the government keeps experimenting on its own citizens. So you might want to check that out. Do your own research. So here we are. With this vaccine thing, spike protein. You know, if you, I don't know who might be listening, but you know, this is spike protein is dangerous. That's why they have the lipid around it. Right, just so they don't not get into the body, to the bloodstream, and so blah, 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 like that, right? So they say that's dangerous. They say the mRNA technique itself is dangerous, right? So these guys just keep experimenting on people. Guatemala prisoners and patients in the mental hospital were infected with syphilis, right? It's not beyond our government to do things like that, right? In Nigeria, children with meningitis were used to test an antibiotic named Trovon. 11 children died and many others were left disabled. What's going on here? Case in point, back in 2016, it was announced that scientists working with the Department of Homeland Security would begin releasing various gases and particles on crowded subway platforms as a part of an experiment aimed at testing bacterial airflow in New York subways. I hope that's not true. Somebody fact check that. The government insisted that these gases released in the subway by the DHS were non-toxic and did not pose a health risk. it is in our best interest, they said. You heard that? To understand how quickly a chemical or biological terrorist attack might spread. And look how cool the technology is, said the government. Cheers. The scientists can use something called a DNA tracks to track the movement of the microscopic substances in air and food. How many of y'all go to imagine the kinds of surveillance that could be carried out by a government using trackable airborne microscopic substances you breathe or ingest. That sounds like nanotechnology to me. And it's back in 2016, so they moving towards something. Mind you, this is the same government that in 1949 sprayed bacteria into the Pentagon's air handling system, the Pentagon, then the world's largest office building. In 1950, special ops forces sprayed bacteria from Navy ships off the coast of Norfolk and San Francisco, right? Exposing all the city's 800,000 residents. In 1953, the government operated staged mock anthrax attacks on St. Louis, Minneapolis, Wingping, and Winnipeg, using generators placed on top of cars. Later experiments covered territories as wide ranging as Ohio to Texas and Michigan to Kansas. Biological warfare, right? There's a preoccupation with our government. Maybe governments all over the world, I don't know. But this is about us. It's a preoccupation with this biological war agents, vehicles to transport it, and what it does. So nobody's going to volunteer for that BS. Nobody in their right mind, which is, again, why you see they use unsuspecting populations or the most vulnerable populations, mentally ill, marginalized populations. And why would you do that? You did it to the Pentagon? Those guys, you don't need an army now? I don't know. This is just bizarre. This is some mad scientist stuff right out of James Bond Goldfinger. Well, he was just trying to kill people just to knock them out. But it's right out of the movie. So maybe the movie is coming from this. Maybe the guys that write these diabolical plots in the movies have actually been in touch with this type of stuff. And this is where they get the information from, because this is ridiculous. The historian Robert Gellately recounts that the Nazi police state was initially so admired for its efficiency and order by the world powers of that day that J. Edgar Hoover, then head of the FBI, actually sent one of his right-hand men, Edmund Patrick Coffey, to Berlin in January 1938 to the invitation of Germany's secret police, the Gestapo. The FBI was so impressed with the Nazi regime that, according to the New York Times, in the decades after the World War II, right, the FBI, along with other government agencies, aggressively recruited at least 1,000 Nazis, including some of Hitler's highest henchmen. All told, thousands of Nazis collaborators, including the head of a Nazi concentration camp, among others, were given secret visas and brought to America by way of Project Paperclip. American taxpayers have been paying to keep these ex-Nazis on U.S. government payroll ever since. Excuse me. In true Gestapo fashion, anyone who has dared to blow the whistle on the FBI's illicit Nazi ties has found himself spied upon, intimidated, harassed, and labeled a threat to national security. Do you see the pattern here, the relationship? So maybe people just never They don't know about all these different things. They just got word that don't trust them. They just heard enough to get to the point where, hey, I don't trust the government. I can see why black people don't trust the government. I don't care how many black millionaires there are. I don't care about a black president or a black mayor or anything like that. I can see why black people wouldn't trust the government. We have a problem. It's understandable. I can see why poor people, black, white, Asian, Latino, would have distrust of the government. And if they know this, they know about all this experimentation and stuff like that. Secret government experiments on the American people. The history of secret chemical, this is from the White House Press. The history of secret chemical, biological, and nuclear experiments conducted by the United States government upon its own unsuspecting population, covering the entire 20th century beginning 1931. This list details the numerous secret and sinister experiments that harmed, tortured, and killed American citizens without their knowledge, right? 1931, Dr. Cornelius Rhoads, under the office of the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Investigation, infect human subjects with cancer cells. Okay, 1932, the Tuskegee thing, we know about that. The Pallaredra incident for millions. After millions of individuals died from Pallaredra, P-E-L-L-A-G-R-A, over a span of two decades, the U.S. Public Health Services finally acted to stem the disease. The director of the agency admits it had known it for at least 20 years that the pellagra is caused by a niacin deficiency, but failed to act since most of the deaths occurred within poverty-stricken black populations. 1940, 400 prisoners in Chicago were infected with malaria. Chemical Warfare Services, 1942. Mustard gas experiment on approximately 400 servicemen, right? In response to Japan's full-scale germ warfare program, U.S. begins research on biological weapons at Fort Detrick, Maryland. 1944, U.S. Navy uses human subjects to test gas masks, right? 1945, Project Paperclip, just talked about that, right? It's just, check that out. This just runs down a whole list of these atrocities. So I can see why people don't trust. So, yeah, you have every reason not to trust your government and the scientists and the medical professionals that are doing things that are suspicious to you, especially if you're doing your homework and you're paying attention to what everybody is saying. So I want to, we run out of time. I just want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, all my callers and listeners, and the creator. Until next week, each one reach one, each one teach one. Wake up. Please wake up, y'all. Do your homework. Do some work. Do not be afraid to do some work, because we have a lot of work to do. Until next week, peace.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution
revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbilly, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.